Welcome to One Life Family Worship and welcome to 2022. Can you guys believe it? Another year in the books. I know a lot of people saying they're so glad to see 2021 out of the way, but we said that about 2020, so I think we just need to realize that the Bible says that in the last days there will be perilous times, and it sure seems like we're in the last days. But this morning we're going to focus on the Lord and His goodness and His greatness and what He's done in our lives. The very least what He's done is given us salvation. Or you could say the very most that He's done is given us salvation. Everything else is kind of, gravy that He does. Gives us life, gives us peace. But He's given us salvation. He's taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So, Father, right now, we just thank You for this day, Lord, this new day in 2022. And we thank You, Lord, that in You we have a future and a hope. In You, Lord, we have a way that's been prepared for us to walk in. So, Lord, I just pray today that as we spend this time in worship, Lord, that our hearts would truly connect with You. That we wouldn't be going through motions, Lord, but that we would release our emotions to You, Lord. That we would worship You, Lord, in spirit and in truth, not holding anything back. Lord, I pray for those that are online, those that are listening to this later on, recorded. Father, I pray if there's any heaviness, Lord, any depth in their heart, Lord, of not feeling and sensing You in their lives, Lord, that You would reveal Yourself in a mighty way to them, that You would take their pain and their hurt, Lord, and bring it to a place of giving it to You so that You can exchange it for Your joy and Your love. And we just release, Lord, Your perfect will over this service now in Jesus' name.
See, here I come. Thank you. With you. Open up my sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit, break out.
Break out of the place, Lord.
Break our walls down.
Spirit,
break out.
Would you just take your hand and just put it on your heart? Let me just sing this one more time. God, Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down.
Spirit, break out.
Make it a prayer this morning.
Spirit, break out. Heaven comes down.
Yes, Lord, we invite you to break out in our lives in a dramatic, fresh way this year. Lord, we know that you abide in us. You live in us. You dwell in us. But sometimes you're so pushed down because of the cares of this life and the distractions of this life and the just the deceitfulness of this world. We pray that this year, Lord, there be a fresh arising of you in our lives, that the Holy Spirit would break out in our lives in a new way, a new dimension. Lord, that people recognize, Lord, that we are yours. Lord, people would recognize, Lord, that the source that we have is heaven's source. That we're not tied to some affiliation here on earth, Lord, but we're affiliated with the kingdom of God. We're ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Let the reality of heaven, Lord, be evident in our lives this year. Let the life of God be evident in our lives this year. We repent, Lord, for anything that we have done in 2021 or before, Lord, that wasn't according to your will. And we ask a fresh start this year in you. Just thank you, Jesus, that you are working in our lives, that you've started the work in our lives. Lord, you're going to be faithful to complete this work in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Last night we experienced a heavy moment. A very dear friend that we have had the pleasure and opportunity and grace to have in our lives went to be with Jesus, Mike Gobb. And he was a one-of-a-kind life. He really was. And this isn't like his eulogy or his memorial, but it was interesting that he passed on the first day of 2022. And it's always a reminder of our mortality, a reminder of our ultimate destiny, that someday we will be shedding this tent, mm-hmm. so to speak, and shell, and experiencing the glory of God. Mm-hmm. But he's one I'm going to miss.
Really bad.
Because I like people who are genuine and real, and I don't know of any more real person than Mike Gobb. And
he was our friend.
I will say this, and I said this last night, and I've never said this before about anybody. And I don't know if it's doctrinally sound, but I think heaven got a little brighter yesterday. Yep. Go ahead.
Dee Dee, last night as we were all sitting there, the people came in from the funeral home to get the outer shell, the body, and both the men were believers in Jesus. They loved the Lord, you could tell. And we had talked a little bit with them before, and she said, okay, I just need one more minute. I know this is just a shell. This is just a shell, but I have to love one more time on my husband. And isn't that the truth? It's just a shell. It really is. Who he was and the life that he lived, all of that is rejoicing with Jesus. And you couldn't ask for a better outcome at all. It just, you couldn't. And He sang a little bit yesterday morning, and now he's singing forever in all eternity with Jesus. And so that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. And that's a beautiful testimony to who he was, that his last day, his last breaths were singing to Jesus. And it was beautiful. So,
yeah, praise the Lord.
Be praying for the family.
Yeah, be praying for the family. Reggie came from
Cheney
and was there last night. And what a work the Lord has done in that young man's life. And he was such an encouragement to us and to Dee Dee. So, but be praying for them all. Any time you go through a loss, I'm sure, you know, Tanya and family are still experiencing the loss of their mom and dad. And treasure the lives that you have in your life. Treasure your loved ones, because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know if we'll have an opportunity to give them a hug next day or next
Sunday,
week.
Or you can guarantee last Sunday she wasn't thinking that she would be saying goodbye to her husband before this Sunday.
Right.
So we are not promised anything, and it can be quickly taken. So cherish what the Lord has given you with everything that you have in you.
And just know that the Lord has a plan, even in all of the work of the enemy. He takes what the enemy means for evil, and he will make it good.
Yeah.
And I know that he will do that in the passing of Mike Gobb.
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. Wanted to share a kind of a little bit of a New Year's message, but more of a life message. You know, I like life messages. But I got to let you kind of start this, because it came from last week when you heard Pastor Eric talk during the ministry time.
He was talking about pursuing the Lord, and as I'm sitting there, I always, when something hits me strongly, I ponder it a lot. And he said about being, this year being a year to pursue Jesus. And as I was thinking about that.
And purposefully.
No, he didn't say purposefully.
Oh, I got you.
He said
okay.
Pursuing Jesus.
Oh, okay. You.
And I'm the one that, as I'm sitting there, the Lord is saying, wait a minute. You can purposely pursue the Lord, but I want you to passionately, with purpose, pursue me. And isn't that right? Am I saying that right?
You're saying
that right. And so there's one thing to pursue something, but it's a whole nother thing to pursue it with passion. And with purpose. And I just yesterday I was telling our brother-in-law about a series that we watched that used to be on TV about, it was called Hunted. And it was a series on teams of two.
From BBC.
From BBC. Mm-hmm. And they were running and trying not to get caught by the people that were pursuing them. Now, these people that were pursuing them, had they not done it with passion and purpose, had they just been pursuing them and you know, running out, I think it would have been, the outcome would have been way different. But these people had purpose in their heart and passion in their heart to pursue with an ending that was going to be for them and not against them. They were going to do it to win. And so this passionately, purposefully pursuing God is so deep in my heart. Like, it's been just ruminating in there for a couple of weeks. And so that's where this has come from.
Yeah. And I will say this. I wanted to, you know me, I like the Bible. I like to have what we talk about, you know, be backed with Scripture. And so in ESOR, I don't know if you guys know that, but it's a great Bible program. If you don't know ESOR, Eric, I got to hook you up with it, because it's amazing. You can get it on your iPad, your iPhone, but also on the computer. And what it allows you to do is download, like, I think it's like 30 Bibles that are public domain Bibles. And some of them are, you know, older English. But the point being is that you can have all these Bibles. You can buy a few if you want. I've bought a few. But you can search for a specific word through all the Bibles, not just one translation. So I went searching for the word passion, the word passionate, passionately, purposefully, and pursuing in all different ways. And I read all the different scriptures. And I didn't find anything that was like saying to passionately, purposefully, you know, pursue God. But the more that I thought about it, and the more that my heart was, you know, basically stewing and processing the whole idea of this process of pursuing God, I had to come to chapter 11 of Hebrews and the story of Enoch, because that's what this man lived his life for, and was born, especially after his, it says in Genesis, after his firstborn was born. Do you want to go ahead and
read this? Hebrews 11:5
and six.
Yes. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God or please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
This scripture has always been a kind of a puzzle to me, partly, and a challenge. Because it brings up the kind of the reason why sometimes we don't pursue God, I believe. That we don't pursue him in a way that's passionately and purposeful. Let's put it that way. I think all of us are pursuing him to a certain degree. We wouldn't be here today if we weren't pursuing him at a certain degree. But there's that level of passionate and purposeful pursuance. And Enoch believed that God was a rewarder of someone that, one translation says, diligently sought him, diligently seeks him. Let's go and look at another translation. This is the Amplified.
But without faith, it's impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists, and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him.
Right. Seek him out. Is.
Yeah.
So the idea of seeking, to me, illustrates this idea of passionately, purposefully pursuing. Like you said, that hunted show, that's what they were doing. They were seeking where these people had hidden themselves. Sometimes they were moving from place to place, and, you know, they were using electronics tracking. Some people were not that smart and were doing social media posts, you know, where they were. Hey, we're doing this, you know, and they would get caught like immediately. Other ones would go like way into the hills and camp, and they were probably
off the grid.
Yeah, and they were probably, you know, succeeded the most usually.
Right.
No one ever succeeded like staying right next to home, you know, because it's warm. You could see, you know, they were all over it. But these individuals, they were passionately pursuing and seeking. And I've told some of you that I've been learning Spanish a little bit. And it's actually from a Spanish word that has kind of even given me a new depth to the word seek. And I think it's because I've been reading some Spanish books to try to learn. And if I butcher it, guys, it's just yeah, you'll forgive me. Yeah, you don't speak Spanish. Herman, Miriam, yeah, Jesse, you can forgive me. But it's the word buscando, right? Yeah, buscando. And it means to, was that bad, Gina?
No, it was good.
Okay. What did she say? Better than Eric.
But coming out of a white person's mouth, it probably needs help.
Yeah, I need the accent to drop on me at some time. But the point being is it means to look for. It means to look out for something. And as I've been reading the New Testament and Old Testament a little bit in the Spanish version, I would find that word used, because there's other words for see and look, but they would use this one. And so it brought kind of a wider range for me of what that word meant. Yes. Yeah. So go ahead.
Do you, and I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but I'm going to ask a question in retrospect. Do you believe that people pursue God only to lift their own guilt, like pursue him just enough instead of with passionate purpose and pursuing?
I think at times we do.
It's very selfish in today's church that we pursue him just enough to
have
make
our needs
our
met,
guilt feel better, or it's our ruler that we're using.
Oh, it sounds like you're talking about under some type of motive.
Just enough. The motive
is basically to keep God happy with me.
Yes. Exactly.
I mean, but his good graces.
That is really where the church, today's church, is at in a whole, is that it, their ruler stick, their measuring gauge is just enough to, is the word a sage, like to make better how you're feeling inside?
A what?
A sage.
A sage? A sage?
Does anybody know? A sage?
Jesse's.
Just to make it, just.
Yeah. He's right.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
So it's just like I come to church every week just to make sure I don't feel guilty about not having come to church. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I think that this is going beyond that. I think this passionately, purposefully pursuing goes beyond today's church's ruler stick of how far and just how deeply we seek the Lord.
And then on the other side, it can be that you get to the place where you're only seeking him for what you receive. Because if you look at, that's weird. If you look at this verse, it says that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly seek. He is the rewarder. And then sometimes people, I know I've gone through times in my Christian walk that I was going after God to get something, and that was it. It was total selfishness. It wasn't about relationship. It wasn't about drawing closer to him. It was about what can I get?
Right.
And you know, kids with their parents, sometimes that's all. Hey, hi son, how you doing? It's like, can I have $20? It's like, you know, they just want the money. You know, it's not like, you know, that they want a relationship at the time. And obviously, that's kind of a crude way of putting it, but really, sometimes we get that way with God. And if we either make it so that we're either motivated by not being guilty about, you know, not going to church or not reading my word or not, you know, doing something that I have to do to show that I'm interested in God, you know, instead of just all the things in the world. Or on the other side, if I'm just doing something just to receive something from God, just so that I can, you know, for whatever reason, you know, meet my need instead of his need, then both of those are shallow. They're very shallow. They would not cut it in any personal relationship, would they?
Right.
I mean, if that was either your or my relationship, it was about I'm doing things with you so that I could receive something in return.
Right.
So that I get something. Well, you're gonna sense that. You're gonna know that. You can tell when someone's. And then if I'm doing things, then I'm just doing it so that, you know, I don't get you upset. And that's going to be shallow and not fulfilling.
Right.
And yet, a lot of us are satisfied with those kind of relationships with God, which is sad.
Well, I'm looking up the Strong's for that. For where it says diligently seek.
It's a deep word.
And it's a really deep word. But one word that in particular that I see.
Crave.
Is the word crave. how many of us crave a touch of God? Crave, like, need, like, it's so deep in us that something superficial of that same thing will not be enough for me. Have any of you ever craved something so badly? Pregnant women have cravings, and they can get them at 2 a.m. And she's craving watermelon, and you can try and pacify her with the honeydew that's in the fridge, or even the cantaloupe that's in the fridge. But unless she gets that watermelon, unless what she really wants, the watermelon, is not within her grasp, she is still going to crave it and crave it and crave it until she gets it. And sometimes even eating all she wants is not enough. She'll continue to crave it through the whole pregnancy. Well, isn't that how the Christian walk should be? That we crave Jesus so deeply, that we crave relationship with him so badly, that we get him and then it's not enough. We need more and we need more and we need more, and more is never enough. I had my mom, the reason I said cravings, my mom and dad lived in Hawaii. He was on the naval base in Hawaii. And it was the middle of the winter, and even if it was the middle of the summer, watermelon was not very well purchased, or it was really expensive because they had to ship it over there. And she craved watermelon, so he tried to get her a watermelon, and he did, and it was this mealy, nasty. Normal people would not eat this watermelon, but pregnant women with a craving would sit and eat, and she ate the whole watermelon, the whole thing. How many of us receive the whole Jesus? Come on now. How many of us are so desperate, crave him so much, that we eat the whole thing and still crave more? This is the kind of purposeful, passionately pursuing that we're talking about. That's a mouthful.
Yeah,
but let
that.
Me tell you, it is powerful when we get that in us.
Yeah.
That it's never going to be enough. Even if you ate the whole of today, you're still wanting more tonight, and you're still wanting and needing and desiring and craving more for tomorrow. And that's how Jesus is. He can be very addictive if we let him be.
Yeah.
Are you addicted to bad things, or are you addicted to Jesus? Because being addicted to Jesus is something that you will never get over. You will never recover from being addicted to Jesus. Can I just say that? You'll never recover. It will be like, there may be a little bit of vacillating on your part, on your life, on your circumstances, on your things, but never will he vacillate. He will always want you that much and more and more and more. And the more we seek him, the more we want him, the more we need him, the more we need to just have him so deeply in us that nothing else, no cantaloupe, no honeydew is going to satisfy me. I want all of Jesus. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's good. The word seek has a couple of different definitions in the Webster's. It says, this is the old Webster's, not the newer one. To go in search or quest of, to look for, to search for by going from place to place. And you would say, well, how does that like apply to God? Well, if you think about it, if you're reading your word, I know that Caden's been reading his word and enjoying it, and every now and then he'll share some insight that he's received from it. And he keeps going to different places in his word. He's not just hanging on one scripture. Now, you can hang on one scripture.
You've done that before.
I've done that before, but I was going even from place to place in that scripture.
I was finding
God in all these different places. Sometimes it may be that you need to go to a mountaintop experience. That's why we used to have encounters. We get people out of their normal life to a place where No, it would be quiet, service. No cell service. I mean, there was a phone, but we were pretty stingy at who could use the phone.
It was nasty water, so no showers.
Yeah. Well, there were showers, but people took showers, but they
with
smelled
the
like rotten eggs afterwards.
But they
yeah.
smelled like rotten eggs.
Yeah, people are shaking their head. Sounds like a wonderful place.
Amen.
Moses, go ahead.
Amen.
This is
don't get over there too far. We got a camera.
Amen. This is resonating because this morning on our drive up here, my wife and I were talking about it, you know, and it was Jesus, 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 everything about Jesus. And there's power in that name, you know. I guess that's why they call us the Jesus freaks, because Jesus, 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 Jesus. And it doesn't matter where you are in your walk, in your Christian walk, as long as you're going forward. God loves us. The common denominator is Jesus loves us.
Amen.
Yeah.
And this resonates because a few months ago, I was going through that. I wasn't backslidden or anything. We all go through these in our walk, we're a different levels in our walk.
Temperature.
Yeah. And I'm like, God, I haven't heard from you in a while. I got in my prayer closet. I know you're there. I know you hear me. But I didn't feel his presence. And I was like, where are you in all this? You know, especially the times right now, you know. And I would get in my prayer closet and I would just pray and pray. And I'd say, thank you, Lord. You know, thank you, Lord. Like, but I wouldn't, it was dry, it felt, I don't know. It just felt like in our, sometimes we spiritually plateau. You know, when we're in our prayer closet, we grow. And then I felt like I was in a plateau. Like I said, I didn't feel like God didn't love me. I didn't feel backslidden. But I go, I need to feel your warmth, God. I need to feel your love. What's going on? But in that, it made me search and seek more of him. Mm-hmm. You know, as some of you may know, you know, I went through COVID in beginning of November. You know, and then I was like, man, you got my attention, God. But God did show up. God did show up. In the middle of my fever, I'm like this, you know, and I'm praying. I was basically praying 24/7. You know, you're praying 24 hours. You know, you got nothing to do. You're quarantined. I'm in my room all quarantined. And then I prayed. And the presence of God just came over me. And I felt a peace. And I said, thank you, Lord. I don't have to fear anything.
Right.
You know, and then... through this walk, I've learned what I was doing is not enough to sustain my spiritual walk. I was not reading enough. I was not praying enough. What's required of us in 2022 is reading more, praying more, getting more intimate with God.
Yeah.
Get more intimate with God. Get in your prayer closet. You want to see change? It starts here first with yourself. Get in your prayer closet.
Right.
Move, and then you'll start seeing God's hand move in other people. All those prayers that you've prayed will start being answered. They will start being answered. The loved ones that you're reaching out to, they will be answered. You know, God loves us. He hears us. Those prayers are not void. They're not falling on deaf ears. But we need to seek Him and search Him and just fall on our face. It's okay. In your prayer closet. Get in your quiet time. Read. Sometimes you feel like, oh, this is, nothing's coming out of this. You know, I'm reading. But it is. You're planting the seed.
Yep.
It's growing.
That's right.
But now after that, you need to water it, nurture it, and watch it grow. Mm-hmm. Have faith. Have faith. Because Jesus loves us, and our prayer's not falling on deaf ears.
Yeah, amen.
And I felt the presence of the Lord, you know, and I know He was preparing me for what was going to happen. Because when I got during that battle, it was just like, oh, I can rest in you, God. I can rest in you. Even though my physical was weak, I go, my spirit, I can rest in you. And I thank you, Lord. I just wanted to share that with you
amen.
Guys.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Moses. Oops, you're good. Yeah, you. Amen. I want to go ahead and read the other definition. To inquire for, to ask for, to solicit, to endeavor to find or gain by any means. In other words, honeydew, cantaloupe isn't going to work, but an old Millie watermelon, that'll work. By any means, yeah. And the thing is that, you know, when we think of pursuing God, all of us have a different picture. You know, my way that I pursue God isn't necessarily your way. The way that Eric pursues God isn't necessarily the way that I'm going to pursue God. And we're not to sit there and judge each other of how we pursue God. What we're to do is, as we know we're being drawn in our heart, or as we know that the Lord wants to have a relationship with us, we're responding in faith to that.
Right.
Knowing that he exists, in other words, that God is there waiting for us.
Right.
And again, he's not outside someplace that we have to go find.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? Because a lot of people, I know for a long time, I thought, oh, I'm trying to reach heaven. Gotta, you know, break through the barrier of the walls. Mm-hmm. You know, no, the barrier of the wall was my heart. The barrier of the wall was my psyche, my mindset, my mind that hadn't been renewed. Because
mm-hmm.
he's in us.
Right.
You don't have to go to a mountaintop to find him. You don't have to go to encounter to find him.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes those things going to those different places helps. Let's read a couple more scriptures here. This is Psalm 34, 4 and 5.
Is it right there?
Yep. It's just not back there.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed.
So this is David saying, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. David had a lot of enemies around him, especially before he was king. After he had been chased down by Saul and realized that his life is in danger, he was having to watch his back all the time. But he sought the Lord, and the Lord answered him. The Lord delivered him. He put his trust in the Lord. Many times David was, I mean, he was this close to death, folks. Saul was just right at his door. And yet God would spare him.
Mm-hmm.
Saul would get news that somebody was attacking another part of Israel, and he had to run right before he got David multiple times. And other nations that tried to get David, the same thing happened, because David sought the Lord. He trusted the Lord. He didn't do everything right. We know that David didn't do everything right. He committed atrocities as an individual, but he had a heart that kept seeking after God. And that's the key. Like Moses said, what are we going to do in 2022? Are we going to just go through 2022 like we went through 2021? Or can we allow the Spirit of God to stir us in such a way that we come to another level?
And the answer to the question is, did it work for us in 2021 what we did? If it didn't, then we need to do something different. Then we need to pursue in a different way. And it may not be a way that's even something you would even think of, and it may not be a way that you may not be very comfortable with it either. But is God asking something of us? Number one, to see and make sure that it's just not lip service. Like, oh, in 2022, I'm in day two. I'm going to have this resolution and this resolution and this resolution. And how did that work for me last year? Not very well. So with this pursuing God with purpose and with passion, I'm saying I want to do it not to please this vessel, but to please him. And what does that look like?
There has to be a renewal of mind.
Right.
You know, because if we just say we're going to make another pledge or we're going to make another commitment, and it's not from the depth of our being, who we are, then it's going to be hard to fulfill. And then we're going to be guilty, and the devil's going to throw condemnation on us. So it needs to be something that we do that's out of purity of heart.
Right.
And maybe
right.
it'll be a process. Maybe all it is just in the morning starting thinking of the Lord in the morning instead of, you know, just starting your day. You know, somebody says, oh, I'm going to start reading the Bible an hour every morning. It's like, okay, good luck. I've done it before. Unless you're like called to do that, you better be ready for the enemy to fight you. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak to a practical point on this. Because they're right. Like, we can get really excited about, you know, the new year, right? And I do it every year as well, right? Goals. Like, last year I was like, I'm going to read two books a month, and I think I read... I did read a lot of books, but not two a month. And that's not even a lot a month, by the way. But anyways, I read this book, one of the books I did read, called Atomic Habits. And the biggest thing I took away from this, and this is a really practical for us, like, we have to make it really, really easy. Like, almost, like, there has to be no excuse. So for me, reading my Bible, most mornings, the only reason I get it read is because I put it open right by my water kettle, because I for sure I'm going to make coffee. I'm for sure going to make coffee. So it's literally open on my counter right next to my water kettle, because you'd be amazed how many times I literally walk by the shelf where my Bible is. It's for some reason so easy for me to walk by that shelf and not grab it on the way to the water kettle. That's very easy, but it's hard for me not to read it when it's right there open to where I'm going to read. Where I'm gonna start, right? So I've made like almost there's no excuse. The only excuse then is just me just ignoring the Bible at that point. So I just say that to say, like, if as we're trying to build like practical applications for our life as we're pursuing the Lord, like, we have to make it really, really easy. Like, Pastor's right. If we, you know, try to go into this next year and say, you know what, I'm gonna read the Bible three times this year. Hey, if you do it, awesome. But why don't we just start with, let's read a gospel this year, you know.
Going, there you go.
Does that make sense? And so just make it really, really easy.
That's good. That's good. Thanks, bro. I just want to quickly focus on this. Those who look to him are radiant. I love that. As we do take time, as we do focus on him, as we do seek the Lord, it's going to show in our countenance. It's going to show in our lives. We're going to radiate him. We're going to be... seen by others as someone that is with the Lord, you know, just as they saw the disciples, you know, I think it was Peter and John, that they had recognized that they had been with Jesus. And that was a mark on their life, that they had been with Jesus. And because of that, they communicated a different way. They expressed themselves in a different way, and they were committed to another dominion, not the dominion of the
And they look King different.
And they look different, yeah.
They looked like something you would want to know what's going on with them. They look different. I don't necessarily want to blend in with the crowd. Right. I mean, when Jesus was touched on the hem of his garment by the woman with the issue of blood, and he asked, "Who touched me?" And the guys are scoffing around him, saying, "You know, there's a crowd around you. What are you talking about? Who touched me?" But this woman touched him with such purpose and such passion that she actually removed virtue from him. There was a lot of people bumping into Jesus, and not one of them removed anything from him until she did, because she pursued with a passion.
Right.
And she pursued with purpose in her heart. How are we pursuing God? Is it with purpose in our heart? Is it with passion? She did. That's why Jesus was so moved.
And surprised. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy, and we know that Deuteronomy, the abbreviation is misspelled. It's not do, D-U-E, it's D-E-U.
It's D-E-U.
That was me this morning. I typed it in wrong. But Deuteronomy 4:29. Go ahead.
But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. New Living Translation. But from there you will search again for the Lord your God. And if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you will find him.
Now, when we think of heart and soul, to me, that kind of means our being. You know, I know we can also search for him with our body, but really the heart and soul is, you know, our mind, will, and emotions, you know, the inner man that we are, searching for him. And so that means that it's going to be beyond, I guess for lack of a better term, the natural. It's going to be supernatural. It's going to be something that is happening inside of us, not just an outward display.
Right.
You know, some people can see certain people in church and say, oh, wow, they're really seeking God. I remember, you know, individuals through the years, you know, and I would see them in church and, you know, and when they're in church, they were like, whoa, you know, and then every now and then I'd meet them outside of church and I would say, it's not the same as they act in church. You know, they're going through a trial, but it doesn't seem to be like they have a confidence in God. And so I'm not saying that they weren't genuine, but I think the thing is that what was happening was an outward display of like, I hope I could be like this.
Oh.
When really our worship needs to come out of our center of who we are, our heart and our soul. And I'd rather have somebody being genuine on Sunday saying, listen, I'm struggling. I can't trust in the Lord, instead of like, you know, putting on a show so that they look like everybody else. I hope we're not like that. I hope we're honest to say, you know what, I'm like I did this morning, you know. It's a heavy time because of the loss of Mike. And you know, as much as I would love to just, you know, just praise the Lord, say, yeah, he's in heaven, you know, and that's true. But there's still the weightiness of that.
Because you lost your friend.
I lost a friend. Yeah. And it's not that I'm mourning as having no hope, because I know I will see him again, you know, and I'll see him in a glorified state, and I'll see him as God truly designed him to be. And all of his characteristics that some of us thought were oddities, we'll realize, oh, that place plays a significant role in glory.
Yeah.
Of who he's going to be in glory. I truly believe that. You know, those of us who say, I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I'm made this way. It's because you're made not just for here. You're made for an eternal plan.
Mm-hmm.
And God's characteristics and nature that he's placed in you, not bad habits, but your traits, will be shown, I believe, in glory in the coming days. So with all your heart, with all your soul, all you have to do is just be honest with yourself. Lord, am I seeking you with all my heart, with all my soul? Like Moses said, I mean, if you're dry, then admit you're dry. You know, if you're cold, admit you're cold. You know,
anybody knows, God does.
Yeah, God knows. And, you know, cold may be in perspective. Hopefully you're not cold to the place where, like, you know, Moses said, he wasn't backsliding. But all of us know our condition.
Right.
You know, does anybody here not know their condition? I think we all know our condition. We all know the condition of our mind, will, and emotions. We know the condition of our heart. And so just be honest with God.
Yeah.
If you don't want to seek the Lord and pursue him passionately this year, then be honest with him. Just say, Lord, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can passionately, purposefully pursue you this year for whatever reason, and tell him why. And he may say, son, I know that you're going through a season, but at least it's a relationship. You're being real with him. You're not just hiding off in, you know, running in behind the bushes,
right,
and saying, oh, God's,
I can't do this. I can't
no,
do this.
God's coming. I got to hide. I'm naked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In other words, have a relationship with him, even in your difficult time, because he's a good, good father.
Yeah.
And he who knows, he'll say, you know what? I realize that, but I've got, when you come through this, I'm taking you to a new level, or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
We just need to be real. If anything, above and beyond passionate, purposefully pursuing God this year, just be real with him. And I think you'll come to another level. Finally, last verse.
Matthew 6:31-33. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
I'm sure most everybody can quote this. But the thing is that this is the principle that Jesus is talking about, that we don't need to spend all of our time worrying about what our basic needs are going to be. That we don't have to keep track of every little single, you know, penny that we have and make, you know, and spend all of our time counting coins or you know, going through the refrigerator, making sure we have enough food. And obviously we're going to buy groceries. Obviously, you know, we might prepare for, you know, a cold spell or, you know, or another lockdown or something like that. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're not to be like at that time. He was speaking to Jewish people, the Gentiles, who are always seeking after those things. That's what they're seeking after. Instead, seek the kingdom. And who's the kingdom? It's Christ.
Yeah.
It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Yeah. The kingdom is within us. Seek the one who has purchased us. Mm-hmm. And seek the one who took residency in us. Mm-hmm. And again, each and every one of us, our seeking will be different. Our searching will be different. Our pursuing will be different. Our level of passion will be different. Our level of purpose will be different. Mm-hmm. It's not all going to be the same, but let's be honest with God and let him work in us this year. Mm-hmm. Say, Lord, if I'm not in this place this year, can you help do a work in me this year that helps me be that ready next year? Or if I'm not ready this month, can you make me more ready next month? Mm-hmm. Now, all of that being said, Eric, can you come up and just play your guitar a little bit? If you have a song afterwards, you can do it too. But we've been talking as a staff, and last year we met for prayer. I think it was the first week or second week of January. We were trying to figure out when it was, and we met here and we prayed and we got kind of direction for the year, and we saw the Lord do things that He had communicated to us about. Being a place that's planting and harvesting. And I mean, I thought we would have seen more harvest, but you know, some of the harvest that we do is outside of the building, guys. And just know that this is not the end all. This is a tent for us on Sunday.
Fueling station.
Yeah, fueling station. This is where we come to link arms and pray for each other, encourage each other and worship the Lord. But really, church should be happening outside. That's where, you know, the other however many hours it is during the week that we're out of this building, or that we're not in a church facility or a church meeting, where we're living the life of the gospel. But anyway, we were talking about what we were going to do for this year, and last week during our prayer time, when Nancy was leading the ministry time, I had kind of an impression on my heart. We'd already talked about, though, having a 21-day fast. Woohoo, everybody! Yay! But 21-day fast doesn't necessarily mean that we're all just going to, you know, have bread and water or what, or eat lentils, you know. I think one of the main things that grasps our attention nowadays, even above and beyond food, is media and the media input that we have all the time. So what this 21 days is going to be about, it's going to start the 10th, which I think is the Monday following next Sunday, right? Yeah. We're going to end on the 31st. On the 31st, we're going to have a service of prayer.
The 30th.
We're going to have, yeah. The 31st is when we can eat again. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah, 31st we can eat again.
Or do media again.
Or you can do both. And we'll talk about that next week in a little bit more detail of what that means. But what I wanted to do today was communicate, and Gay wanted to communicate, this passionately, purposefully pursuing God. And we wanted to give this first month. I know other churches have done it through the years, and we haven't done it. But this year I just really feel that the Lord wants us to have a fresh start, you know, a new beginning, so to speak. Maybe a new spring in our step. Who knows? And it may not be just for the church. It just may be for our life as well, that we have a greater purpose for living. You know, I think as we passionately, purposefully pursue God, He'll give us more passion for life. He'll give us more purpose for our life. And He'll help us to pursue His desires for our life a lot better. So, just keep that in your heart. and know that next week we'll communicate some ideas about, you know, more practical things about how do I do this fast, you know, if I need to have, you know, food for medicine and stuff, or I need to receive data, you know, that I need for work. How do I do it that I don't, you know, do it where I'm breaking the fast when I don't want to. We'll talk about some of those practical things. The key is this is going to be an opportunity to, I think, let our hearts be a little more still, a little more sensitive to the Spirit blowing on us, is speaking to us, and we'll see what the Lord has for us this year. Amen? Amen? Amen. Do you have anything else? Okay. Go ahead, bro. Lord, that don't let our past experiences, Lord, our past failures, our past successes, Lord, keep us hindered and blocked, Lord, and chained, Lord, from becoming a greater pursuer of you. So, Lord, I just bless everyone here right now. I bless them, Lord, in your name. I say, let your light shine on them. Let your grace, Lord, give them supernatural empowerment this year, Lord, to do above and beyond all that they could ask or think of you. Lord, I pray that you would just allow them, Lord, to hear your voice. The voice, Lord, of the one who loves them, calling their name. And help them, Lord, to respond in faith, Lord. Help them to respond as ones who believe that you exist and that you are a rewarder of those who seek you. We just thank you, Lord, that you are the one that has chosen us, Lord. We didn't choose you, Lord. You chose us. And, Lord, you purposed and planned a life for us to live for you. And we receive that calling, Lord, and we receive that gift now by faith, afresh and anew today, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Love you. Oh, guess what? Now it's business. Yes. After the service, if anyone can stay and help, please stay. We've got to take down all the Christmas decorations today because next Saturday we have a funeral service here. So anybody can do that? That would be awesome. Thank you. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.